Welcome in, Ute fans. This is the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host and Utes insider, Trevor Allen, as we are here every single week. And now we're going to start kicking it up to two podcasts a week now that the season's about to get underway, as we sit just under 2 weeks away until the opener between the Utes and the Arizona Wildcats at Rice-Eccles Stadium on Saturday, November 7th. I'm guessing by Monday we will know the kickoff time and the TV broadcast information for the opener. We already know a couple of the Friday games, but as far as the opener against Arizona, I'm guessing it's not going to be in that six-day window. It's between 12 and six-day window, and 12 days to the opener will be on Monday, as we're taping this podcast on Sunday evening. And Utah wrapped up their second and final scrimmage of fall camp. So you guys will hear from head coach Kyle Whittingham after that scrimmage on Saturday, as they start to try and tighten up the competition for all the positions that are up for grabs right now. We won't know anything about the quarterback for probably about another week and a half or so, but there is some good things out of there. If you guys go over to KSLSports.com, you guys will find my piece on the five takeaways from the scrimmage availability. You guys can look at that right there. And then also coming up, I will do my depth chart predictions, as we are about a week away from getting a actual depth chart heading into game week. And, of course, we're going to know that it as far as the quarterbacks, it's going to say or next to it. But for a lot of these other positions, I think that they'll be willing to tell us who's starting at each position. And so I'll give you my reasons why and all of that coming up. But first, let's get to some Utah football news. There's only a couple of things to talk about. First one is that Tempview edge rusher Logan Fano, he is a three-star prospect in the 2021 class. He has narrowed his decision down to four schools: Utah, BYU, Oklahoma, and Washington. And so Utah is still in the running for that. I think Utah is the front runner for Fano, but who knows at this point, especially because a lot of the recruits haven't been able to take trips to schools and make official visits, and they won't be able to till at least January because of COVID-19. And then if you guys tuned in to Sunday Night Football as the Arizona Cardinals hosted the Seattle Seahawks, you would notice a number 8 patch on the Arizona Cardinals jersey. Well, that was to pay tribute to former Cardinal legend and also University of Utah legend Larry Wilson, who passed away in September. So the Cardinals were paying tribute by wearing the number 8 jersey, or the number 8 patch on their jerseys. So that's a pretty cool tribute by the Cardinals. All right, we're going to go ahead and dive into the scrimmage interview with head coach Kyle Whittingham as he met with the media on Saturday afternoon following Utah's second and final scrimmage of fall camp.
Okay, really good scrimmage today. Big improvement from last week, which needed to happen. Still not ready to play yet. Still got a lot of cleanup to do on both sides of the ball. But we made a ton of progress, and just like last week and throughout the week, offense had the better day. That defense is still trying to get up to speed with all those new players. But offense looked very good. Wasn't perfect, never is. Special teams work was good as well. That's the last extensive live work before we line up and play 2 weeks from today. We'll have a few live sessions here and there next week, and then that will definitely be it. And the next week obviously will be game day or game week prep, and away we go. So feel good about where we are. We think we got some things solved today. Won't know for sure until we review the tape. That's always how it is. You're never as good or as bad as you think you are until you see the film and look at what you did. But pleased with the work. It was a full day's work. We were out there for over 100 snaps, and got most guys work on the squad. There was a few guys that didn't get reps, but it was a good work day overall, and we're positioned pretty good for leading into the next 2 weeks. But like I said, we've got to take another big jump this week, and then ready, get ready for that game on Saturday the 7th. So questions?
Kyle, just wanted to get your thoughts on the quarterback battle. I know that you're not going to name a starter, but do you feel like that they've created a separation after this scrimmage without having watched the film?
At first blush, we got to obviously dissect the film, but we had good play from the quarterbacks, very good play, bordering on outstanding, and we'll take a good hard look at this tape and hopefully have a decision on Monday. If we need a few more days, we have that luxury, but as I said a couple days ago, Wednesday or Thursday would be absolutely the time that we have to come to a conclusion. But if we can get it done on Monday, then that's great. We'll see what happens.
Without having seen the tape yet, are there any positions at this point that you're still kind of cloudy about? You really don't have enough clarity just yet?
Yeah, I would say linebacker, other than Devin Lloyd, although he didn't take any reps today for obvious reasons. You got guys that are game ready and proven commodities, then you want to be careful with how you handle them in the fall camp scenario, which is what we're in still right now, I guess technically. But the secondary also has got nothing completely solidified. We've got to hone down, and we've got things more focused than we had them prior, and there's fewer guys that are in the mix, but not quite exactly sure how that's going to unfold. We still need work there. Offensive line is starting to come together, and we think we're straight there and squared away on who those guys are going to be. Running backs, there's four guys that are doing a great job. Same four guys I listed last week: Wilmore, Brumfield, Makai Bernard, and our freshman Ty Jordan, who did some really good things today. He's a very dynamic, explosive player. Receiving core is pretty set. We got those guys ironed out, as do we do the tight ends. Now the tight ends, there's an asterisk there, because if Dalton Kincaid becomes eligible, then he is definitely going to be in the mix. And if he is not eligible, then we'll proceed without him and go with the other guys that we got, obviously. The kicker is still not settled. Punter is settled. You know, Ben Lennon's going to be our guy. But place kicking is still a battle, and that battle, as I said earlier in the week, or sometime last week, could go all the way up to the day before the game or the day of the game. We'll see what happens. But they're both doing a nice job. It's just nobody is separated. And I'm trying to think what else. Defensive line is pretty solidified. That would be it. I think that's the whole 22 guys.
Just a quick follow-up with Dalton Kincaid's eligibility kind of up in the air. Has he been getting a full workload during practice?
He has, and for other reasons, some of the tight ends have not been available due to getting a little bit banged up, and so that has given him an opportunity to have a bunch of reps. And if he's deemed eligible, he's ready to go. He's completely ready to go, and will be a part of what we're doing. Like I said, we're hoping to find out this week. We think that by the end of the week, we should know, which will give us a week lead into the game of where to focus those tight end reps.
When you go into a training camp without a definitive starter, Kyle, what does that eventual winner need to show you in order to win the job?
Are you talking about quarterback or overall?
Yes, excuse me, quarterback.
Quarterback needs to show us that he has the poise and the confidence and the leadership factor, that it factor that you're looking for in your quarterbacks. Got to be a great decision maker. He's got to play with a ton of decisiveness. Can't be on eggshells and questioning himself. And he's got to be. It's a certain personality that plays that position and plays it at a high level. And that's what you're looking for. And a guy that will do what he's coached to do, but will not just do what he's coached to do. If you get a guy that only does what he's coached to do and can't improvise and extend plays and make things happen, then you're probably not going to be very good. So he's got to accept coaching and do things within the framework of how Andy wants them done. But there's plenty of times in the game where things break down. They don't happen just as they're supposed to, and you got to make a play. And that ability to make that play is really crucial to determining who's going to be the guy.
Hey, Kyle, it sounds like you could have the potential to have some extreme depth at tight end. Could you just talk about that and then contrast that maybe with the wide receivers, where you mentioned last week you might be a little thin losing Tyrone and then Jalen transferring? contrast those two for me if you could.
Sure. Tight end, we've got a well-stocked position group. It starts with Brant Keithy and Cole Fotheringham, our two guys that played the vast majority of the snaps last year. We added Dalton Kincaid in that mix, as we've already talked about. He's really a top-tier Pac-12 tight end, in our opinion. We've got three guys that are really playing and good football and have a high ceiling. Thomas Yasmin, one of the more pleasant surprises of fall camp. We've got three or four real pleasant surprises in fall camp, and Thomas has been one of those. He's 6'6 and 250 pounds and can run a 4.6 40. Saw him covering kickoffs last year and making a bunch of plays there, but he's really progressed. He's a kid that never played football before we got here, so it's been a long process for him to get to where he is, but he's still got 3 years of eligibility, and he has made a move. Ali Niamatalolo has found a role on the team. He's doing some things for us in certain packages that have been of help. And that would be it. And those are the guys. A couple walk-on tight ends that are working hard. Solo Rosales, mainly. And he's a guy that is really doing a good job for us as well, but in a backup role, a reserve role.
And then about the wide receivers.
Okay, wide receivers. Yeah, not as deep as we were coming into the season. Tyrone Smith being out, and it's a significant injury. He'll be out until June, I believe. It's going to be a while, so it'll be pressing up right in the next season. And it's not something that happened that's brand new. It's just something that has been aggravating him a little bit worse. Finally, he said, you know what, got to get it fixed. And so he's going to be out for a while. And then, of course, Jalen decided to go elsewhere, which leaves us with six guys that really are going to get the vast majority of the reps, maybe all the reps, and that is Solo Enos and Brian Thompson, Brent Covey, Vele is also in the mix there and doing a great job. Samson is a guy that just keeps making play after play after play. And then Money Parks, a freshman wide receiver that we just got this year. And then we have four or five walk-ons behind those guys that are all working hard and doing some things. Cam Gardner, Kyrish Rowan, Cotton, Macaloosa. We've got some guys that are really working hard, but we'll see if they become game ready or not. They're not quite ready yet. And Dylan Slavin's another kid that's been with us for a few years that's working hard. But those first six are really the guys that are the primary targets.
Kyle, where has Cam Rising made the biggest leap in his game going from last year as the scout team guy to now being in the mix for the starting job?
Great question, because he has really become a much better decision maker and taking care of the ball quarterback. He was a little bit of a loose cannon last year and thinking he could force the ball in when there was really no play there to be made. He has become the type of quarterback now that he is been outstanding with his decision. He goes right through his progression. He goes through his progression very quickly. He goes from one to two to three in the blink of an eye and gets the ball out quick. And that's probably the biggest difference, is he's much more decisive in his read progression, in his decision-making, and taking much better care of the ball. He threw a lot more interceptions last year than he's had. He's been great this year as far as not turning the ball over. And that's one of the top things you're looking for in a quarterback. I mentioned all the attributes, but not turning the ball over is right there near the top, if not the top.
And just as a quick follow-up, what does going up against a defense like you guys had last year, him as the scout team guy, how does that help a quarterback progress as a decision maker?
Well, it'll make him progress, or it'll make him quit the game, one of the two, because our defense last year was phenomenal, and he's still with us, so we obviously didn't quit. So he learned a ton, and it was good for him to be the scout team quarterback last year. He did a great job running that scout team. And there couldn't be a better training ground for a QB than going against that defense.
Kyle, I know you've talked about a lot of the younger guys that have already made strides throughout camp, but going from scrimmage one to scrimmage two, have those young guys emerged even more after that scrimmage?
Yes, they have. Start with Ty Jordan, the running back. Like you said, he's an explosive player. He's built. Really, I mean, he's not very tall. He's 5'8", 5'9", but he's 200 pounds or just a hair under. 10 500-meter guy in high school, so he's got blazing speed. and he's got a great feel for angles and instinctiveness with when he runs the football, when to cut, when to try to outrun somebody, and he's got great vision. He can see holes and also very good out of the backfield, you know, catching the football. And I don't want to say that he's going to be the lead back, but he's got a bright future. There's no doubt about that. Let's see. Jaron Cupp is doing a phenomenal job. You see a lot of him. Nate Ritchie, Tennessee Pututau, Tanoa Tongiai, Van Fillinger, ex-Carlton. We're just talking true freshmen now. I said Nate Ritchie. Clark Phillips. That's been obvious from day one that he was going to be a factor. So there's going to be a bunch of freshmen that get a lot of playing time.
Kyle, aside from Devin Lloyd, did any of the veterans who you don't have any questions about, did any others not take reps today?
Yeah, Brad Keithy sat out. Mika Tafua sat out. Deanna Mawale was limited. Mawala. Nick Ford was limited. All the receivers went. Cole Farlingham didn't take reps. That's it. I think everyone else had a good dose of playing time today.
Quick follow-up. I know that you said earlier in camp that Clark Phillips had been getting work both at the nickel and also outside. Is he continuing to get work at both spots at this point?
Yeah, but he's more focused on outside now. We gave him a good dose of nickel earlier in camp, and then we've shifted gears and given him more opportunity to play outside because we want our best three out there, and if he's one of the best three, then it gives us some flexibility where to play him. The nickel spot is more demanding, more difficult, both physically and mentally, at least in our scheme. It's tougher assignments, and so that's where we started him out initially and got him used to that, and the transition from there to outside is much easier than going from outside to inside, and so he's capable of playing either one, and if he's one of the best three in 14 days, he'll be starting at one of the two spots.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right.
Kyle, you said you started to see some separation in your offensive line. Do you feel like you have a solid five? And at that point also, where do you see Nick Forbes? Does he go to guard or is he at tackle?
We have a solid 10 and beyond. We travel with 10. It's going to be a tough decision of who 10 is because we've got 11 or 12 that we feel really good about right now. And, we expected this to happen. We expected that we could see it on paper and through recruiting the last year and a half. And it's starting to come to fruition. I think I mentioned it several times last year. This line in time is going to be really good. And it's starting right now, in my estimation. Second part of the question was about Nick Ford. What was it about?
Yeah, are you seeing him at tackle or at guard this year based on the personnel?
Well, again, kind of like Clark Phillips in the secondary, getting the best five guys out there. We're going to get the best five at the offensive line. And right now, if we go with the lineup that we think we're going to go with, Nick will be at tackle. And so he can play all five, as I mentioned before. And wherever we plug him in, he'll be successful. But we're at our best right now, in our opinion, and got the best combination with him anchoring that left tackle spot.
There you go. That was head coach Kyle Whittingham talking to the media. While you guys take that in, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, I'll give you guys my depth chart predictions for Utah. And again, it's just straight off of me of what I think, based off of the conversations that we've had with the coaches, the players, and Kyle Whittingham throughout fall camp. You're listening to the Crimson Corner Podcast. Welcome back into the Crimson Corner Podcast. Trevor Allen here with you. Always great to have you guys aboard. Make sure you guys download the KSL Sports app. You guys can check out the Crimson Corner Podcast from there. Also, all of the latest Ute content, as I'm knee-deep in University of Utah fall camp coverage. So make sure you guys check out KSLSports.com by downloading the KSL Sports app. Let's get into predictions. You guys will also be able to find this piece in its entirety over at KSLSports.com. I'm just going through I've been at every media availability except for one during fall camp. I missed one, but I caught up on it with catching the audio and the video from it. You know, I feel like I've got a pretty good feel of how this team's going, considering, and that's a big if, what Kyle Whittingham is telling us, and that's all that we're able to really take in. Other than that, Utah has been really close to the vest on everything, and so some of this is just guessing. Some of it is based off of what Kyle Whittingham said during camp and trying to put the pieces together. And so here's the puzzle that I have completed on my end, just my own thoughts, and you know, we'll see probably in about a week of how this plays out. So starting at quarterback, I have Jake Bentley. I have Cam Rising as the backup, and then the number three is Drew Lisk. Through the first 3 weeks of camp, the quarterback battle's been neck and neck. Kyle Whittingham hasn't told us who's had the upper hand, who's been playing well. He didn't even tell us who the two guys were left that they narrowed it down to after the first week of camp. And so, again, we're all guessing here that it's down to Bentley and Rising right now. But Bentley, I think you've got to go with a guy who has a lot of experience playing football at a high level. And Bentley has done that when he is with South Carolina in the SEC. Kissing has also played some good football. It's just we haven't been able to see it. He was on the scout team last year with Britton Covey going up against that really stout Utah defense last year in practices. So I think that has helped him a lot. And it's also helped him being in the booth with Andy Ludwig for home games, as he has been able to get a glimpse of this offense. But of what I'll say, and I'm not trying to sway you a certain way, because again, I think Utah is in a great position. No matter what, whoever starts, Utah is going to be in great shape. If you listen to Andy Ludwig's interview, and I actually played it on the last podcast, or maybe the one before that, it was day of the first day of fall camp. We asked Andy Ludwig, does Cam Rising have an edge or have an advantage over Jake Bentley? Because he was in the booth, and Andy said that is an advantage, but Jake's been here a long time now, and he's already got a hold of the offense now. It's just going out and actually executing it in practices, because Bentley's been here since spring. So I think that that's one thing, but you're also, I have a hard time seeing Utah bringing in a graduate transfer from the SEC and not start him at quarterback. And I mean, Cam Rising would have to be something special for you to be able to do that. And he very well could be. Again, we haven't seen any practices. We don't have any film on these guys. The only film we have is on Bentley when he played at South Carolina. He had a pretty good career there. I mean, yeah, numbers don't really flash, but for the most part, he's a really solid quarterback. And I've also heard great things about Cam Rising. So I think no matter what, Utah is set for the next couple of years. And then even with some guys that are coming up through the ranks with Peter Costelli, who is a 2020 commit, highly touted recruit out of Mission Viejo, California. He's a guy that Utah is going to look to in the next couple of years as well. It'll basically be his time when Cam Rising leaves. So that's where I'm at on the quarterback position. And then running back. This one was the absolute hardest one to get a grasp on, because Kyle Whittingham has said that there's been four guys that it's gone down to, and that's what led to T.J. Green leaving. And that is Devin Brumfield, Jordan Wilmore, Ty Jordan, and also Mekhi Bernard. Now, I have it right now as a running back by committee. Devin Brumfield, Jordan Wilmore, and Ty Jordan, with Bernard being the backup. And I say this because Whittingham hasn't really said too much about Brumfield and Wilmore, other than that they're having great camps. Something that Whittingham has said is a lot of great things about Ty Jordan. Says he will definitely play a factor this year. He's not quite ready to name him the lead back, but he's up there, which really says something. So that's where I'm at right now. That one's still a toss-up, but I think for the first time in a long time, we're going to see a by-committee approach for Utah at the running back position, which is strange. And then at the wide receivers, the three starting receivers, I have Brian Thompson, Solomon Enos, and Britton Covey. Those are gimmies. And then you have at backup for each one, Devon Vele, Samson Nakua, and Money Parks. Now, Utah was going to have about eight guys at the wide receiver position who they were able to go to and split the reps with. But with Jalen Dixon leaving and Tyrone Young-Smith suffering a season-ending injury, Utah's down to six guys. And that's how Money Parks slid into that mix right there. And so Whittingham said that those are the guys that are going to get most of the reps, if not all the reps, during camp and during the season. And then at tight end, you have Brant Keithy and Cole Fotheringham, because I think Utah's going to do a two tight end set a lot. And you can also play Brant in that jet sweep. You can play him as the fullback in the I formation. You can also play him in multiple different ways while you have Cole Fotheringham playing that tight end when Keithy's playing other positions. And then I have at backup Dalton Kincaid. He's the guy from San Diego who transferred to Utah. He's a big-time get for Utah because he's got some NFL talent. Kyle Whittingham absolutely loves his game, has talked so highly of him. The problem is we're not sure if he's going to be eligible by the NCAA, and Kyle Whittingham said that they will probably know by the end of this week on whether Dalton Kincaid will be able to be eligible or not. But even if he isn't eligible, Utah is in great shape at tight end, and then you end up saving a year, basically. I mean, no matter what you do, but Dalton will be here for a couple of years and will even be here even after Brant and Cole Fotheringham graduate. So I think Utah is set, also getting Isaac Vaha, the Pleasant Grove tight end, who verbally committed last week. I think the future is extremely bright at tight end for this Utah football team. Now let's head over to the offensive line. Kyle Whittingham said that there were 10 guys that they had solidified, and so they are too deep on the offensive line. It's now trying to find the five best guys and putting them at the right positions. So here's what I came up with. It's kind of what came out with the pre-camp depth chart, but I'm kind of just going off of that because nobody has really slipped in from there. Starting at left tackle is Nick Ford, but he's a guy who can slide in at guard. He can play center. He can play wherever you want him. He is the most versatile offensive lineman in the entire Pac-12. And then at left guard, I have Braden Daniels, Orlando Umana at center, Johnny Maia at right guard, and Simi Mawala at right tackle. Backing up Mawala would be Bamidele Oluseni. Backing up Johnny Maia would be Satoa Lamea. Paul Miley backing up Orlando Umana. Keaton Bills backing up Braden Daniels. And Luke Felix Fulalo at left tackle. But keep in mind, one guy I think is in there to take someone's spot. It's just a matter of where. And that's Jaron Kump, who is a freshman coming off of his mission. But either way, that O-line is going to be really good, and that's going to be a great luxury for Utah's offense. All right, now heading over to defense. At left end, Mika Tafua, with his backup Xavier Carlton. At left tackle, Hauati Pututau with Tanoa Togiai. As his backup, at right tackle, Vianne Mawala, with his backup Pete Tonga. And then at right end, Max Tupai with Van Fillinger as his backup. Now, Mika Tafua, Hauati Pututau, and Vianne Mawala are all shoo-ins on the defensive line. Kyle Whittingham said that Vianne Mawala is probably the best tackle in the entire Pac-12. And he has the same size as far as being 6'6", you know, really big guy, and speed as Leki Fotu, which is awesome. So I think that those guys are shoo-ins, but I don't think that Max Tupai's spot is you know, really solidified. Because Kyle Whittingham's talked about him, but he hasn't talked as highly about him as he has about Van Fillinger and Xavier Carlton. But those guys are the future of Utah football on this defensive line. And then another guy to see over the tackle positions alongside Tanoa Togiai and Pete Tonga is Tennessee Pututau, who is also coming off of his mission as a freshman. And then at Rover linebacker, I have Nephi Sewell with Andrew Mata'afa as his backup. And then at Mac linebacker, Devin Lloyd with Sione Fotu as his backup. Now, this is one of the concerns for Utah heading into fall camp, was finding the Rover linebacker. And I think that Sewell will fit that mold. Now, the thing is, they're not as deep. Jeremy Mercer is in that mix as well, but you're having to rely on a true freshman in Sione Fotu out of Bingham, but I know that they've been very high on him as well. But as of right now, that's where I stand. And then here's kind of a shakeup, because on the pre-camp depth chart, at left corner is Bronson Boyd with Drew Rawls as his backup, and then you have Travis Broughton starting at right corner with Fabian Marks as his backup, and then at nickelback, you have Malone Mataele as a starter with Clark Phillips or Aaron Lowe backing him up. Now, after talking to Kyle Whittingham on Saturday, he said that Clark Phillips has been getting more reps, and basically all of his reps have now gone onto the outside. He hasn't been getting reps at nickel, even though Utah started out camp by giving Clark Phillips reps at nickel to get him comfortable with that position and to make him more versatile and valuable to that secondary, as you should. But I think right now, so what I have now starting at left corner, based off of what Kyle Whittingham said about Clark Phillips, I have Clark Phillips III starting at left cornerback with Bronson Boyd as his backup. And then at right corner, you have Broughton and then Marks as his backup. And then at nickelback, you have Malone Mataele with Aaron Lowe as his backup. But Broughton is Utah's number one cornerback. But I think that Clark Phillips is picking things up very quickly. And it helped him, too, to be here during spring, even though they didn't have much of spring ball. But just being around the team and being around the coaches has really helped him. But in that scrimmage, in that second scrimmage on Saturday, you guys can see on Twitter, Utah posted a video of some highlights from that scrimmage. Clark Phillips had a really nice pick in the end zone guarding Dylan Slavens, which is great. You know, you gotta see some of these younger guys making plays. And then you go over to safety. Starting at free safety is R.J. Hubert, for me, at least prediction-wise, with Kamoi Latu as his backup. And then a strong safety, Vontae Davis as a starter with Nate Ritchie as his backup. Now, R.J. Hubert is a shoe-in to start at safety. He showed signs of brilliance last year, filling in for Julian Blackman, and was going to, you know, fill in for Julian Blackman in the Pac-12 championship game when he got hurt, but then R.J. Hubert got hurt as well. But he's back, healthy, 100% ready to go. Now, Nate Ritchie has been a bright spot on defense during camp. Kyle Whittingham has spoke so highly of him to the point where he's comparing him to Chase Hansen. Just think about that for a minute. I think that, and Kyle Whittingham has even said this, that Nate Ritchie is in the mix to get one of the starting safety spots, and it's not going to be R.J. Hubert's spot. It's going to be Vontae Davis. So I think that Davis is going to start out the season. I would expect that by the end of the year, Nate Ritchie will be starting. And then starting at place kicker on special teams, I am going with Jordan Noyes with Jaden Redding as the backup. Now, Jordan, Kyle Whittingham said that he's got a very strong leg, comparing him to Matt Gay, which I know that Kyle Whittingham, there was some kind of, you know, mix-up on Twitter, because Kyle Whittingham told us that was Matt Gay's brother-in-law, when really Jordan Noyes' cousin married Matt Gay, if that makes sense. So I'm going with Noyes as not only the place kicker, but also handling kickoffs, with Redding backing him up on both positions. And then Ben Lennon, Kyle Whittingham already said that Ben has already won the punter job. I didn't think it should have been up for grabs anyway. Again, I'm not the coach, but maybe that's kind of light a fire under Ben Lennon. But Jared March will be his backup. And then at holder, Ben Lennon with Britton Covey as his backup. And then at snapper, Keegan Markgraff as the starter with Noah Rodriguez Trammell as his backup. And then as far as the kickoff returner, Britton Covey is the starter. Brian Thompson is the backup. And then here's where it gets a little tricky. And let's hope we never have to get to this point. Britton Covey is the starting punt returner, but the backup is up to four guys because it used to belong to Jalen Dixon. Now that he's gone, Ty Jordan, Samson Nakua, Money Parks, and Clark Phillips have all been getting reps at backup. So it sounds like Whittingham wants to get a lot of guys some reps there just because he said you can never have too many punt returners. And so there's the reason for that. So that's the predictions. All right, well, that will do it for this edition of the Crimson Corner Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll have another episode dropping on Wednesday with some more camp sound. that you guys will be able to check out. And make sure you guys check out all the stories. I have one up every single day from camp over at kslsports.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Trevor A Sports or on Instagram at Trevor Allen KSL. And then you can follow us at KSL Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next time, thank you guys so much for tuning in. You've been listening to the Crimson Corner Podcast, and it's always powered by kslsports.com.